This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. As the first fires of yet another hot, dry season are sparked, an intense debate is occurring over the charred remains of a forest in southwest Oregon. Two summers ago, a 500,000 acres burned in what was dubbed the Biscuit Fire. The Forest Service wants to salvage log the land, that is, cut trees within the burned area that still have some commercial value. Revenues from such logging could offset the cost of erosion control, replanting, and other measures needed to restore the charred landscape. But logging of any kind is a polarizing issue, even on a forest that has burned. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports.
Forest management, when it comes to wildfire, sounds deceptively simple. Here's President Bush in the aftermath of Oregon's Biscuit Fire, the largest of 2002.
We need to thin. We need to make our forests healthy by using some common sense. We need to understand if you let kindling build up and there's a lightning strike, you're going to get yourself a big fire. That's what we got to understand.
And yet, while there is now understanding over that concept in theory, the divide over how to get there in practice is deep and bitter. Mark Ray, the administration's point man on forests, gave a speech recently in the same place.
Even as we move to try to develop a solution, we're diverted by continuing to argue the merits of commercial timber harvesting on the national forests.
Ray had to make a hasty escape to his waiting SUV, dodging the protesters outside. What happened between Bush's speech and Ray's is the Forest Service put pen to paper, theory into practice, and drew up a plan to manage the 500,000 acres of forest that burned. And burned or not burned, logged or not logged, people have widely differing views of what a forest should look like. At a recent conference of the Oregon and Washington Societies of American Foresters, Judy McHugh, an affable, dedicated Forest Service employee, gave a PowerPoint presentation on the Biscuit Fire Recovery Project, an environmental impact statement 2 years in the making. At the outset, she explained the goals were community and firefighter protection and restoration of habitat. Then it went out for public comment.
One of the things we heard very commonly was, hey, this fire costs a lot of money. What are you going to do about that? So we came up with an alternative that emphasized economic recovery.
The plan now calls for logging 29,000 acres, a timber harvest of 500,000,000 board feet, more wood to come off the forest than in all of the forests in Oregon and Washington in recent years.
When are we going to get all this done? Shortly. I want to take you out in the woods and show it to you.
Miles up and into the Siskiyou National Forest brought the group to a place where the fire burned the hottest. What was once old-growth forest is now a landscape of blacks and grays marked by the shells of 100-year-old trees. But there are some pockets of green where trees were never touched by fire, and above a helicopter marks cutting units for the proposed timber sales, dropping paintballs to delineate boundaries. McHugh and the foresters begin a hike along an ash-carpeted trail into the Kamiopsis, an 83,000-acre wilderness at the very center of the fire. Foresters stop periodically to size up huge trees perched precariously on steep, rocky pitches.
Don't forget, under the preferred alternative in the draft, 94% of the area is not being touched. So for folks who like scene management, that's disappointing. For folks who don't like scene management, that's disappointing.
For this group of professional foresters, 29,000 acres is not nearly enough. Some shake their heads in disbelief that what we've just walked through will not be made available for logging.
They're huge. And, well, you passed some Port Orford cedar.
Chamaepyrus lassiana. It's big specimens, huge. They're like this.
His arms stretch in a wide circle. This particular part of the forest will be left alone over the objections of foresters who'd like to see it logged and replanted right away.
It's sad for me. As a forester, it's sad to see this just sit here like this forever. It's going to take a long time. Now, this is a harsh growing condition, first off. So, left on their own, they're going to take a long time to regenerate, you know. I'd rather see it come back to a forest as soon as possible.
While just 6% of the burned area would be cut, nearly half of that would be in old-growth preserves and in remote areas without roads or development. And that raised fierce objections from environmental groups, as well as the EPA and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The agencies warned of irreversible harm to water quality and habitat for endangered species. Don Smith of the Siskiyou Project says the Forest Service went too far.
The project itself seems to be extreme. It's not reasonable. We're not saying no logging, period. There is some moderate level of logging which should be acceptable to us. What's really important to us is not whether there's logging or not, it's what is protected.
But the Forest Service says it must manage for multiple goals, not the least of which is to supply local mills with timber and to offset the cost of other projects on the forest.
We have never said in the EIS that the salvage is being done for ecologic reasons. It's being done for economic reasons.
But just as there are conflicting opinions as to how best to manage a forest after it burns, so too is there disagreement over the economics. While the Forest Service proposes to raise money through salvage logging, there are some who say that's wishful thinking. Ernie Niemi is a resource economist with the firm Eco Northwest, who says it's a losing proposition.
Taxpayers almost invariably will end up paying quite a lot to support logging in this area.
Niemi did an analysis for environmentalists and combed through the numeric tables of the salvage proposal. He says administrative and management costs were left out, and assumptions about receipts given the current timber market were overly optimistic.
Well, what we've seen on some of the salvage logging sales in this general region over the last couple of years is that there either are no bidders at all or there are one or two bidders at very low prices. And in effect, the Forest Service has almost had to give the timber away in order to get people to take it.
The Forest Service concedes some errors in their accounting, but insists there will be receipts from the salvage logging. The agency maintains that if you want any kind of management, from rebuilding burned pit toilets and picnic areas, or roads stabilized to stop erosion, you have to accept some logging to pay for it. But environmentalists like Smith say this is too much logging in the wrong places.
So we're going to be in court, and they're going to blame us for challenging their project, which amounts to the largest timber sale on record on public lands.
And Agriculture Undersecretary Mark Wray recently made the same prediction.
On the Biscuit Fire, we expect that it will likely be appealed. I don't think that there's been any diminution of the controversy over these issues. I think it's been a constant. At some point, we'll find a way to accommodate one another, and we'll move on.
But nobody appears to be accommodating yet. The political, economic, and social values of timber towns in the Pacific Northwest are still polarized, and the fires of 2002 have only reinforced that stalemate. And under the new Healthy Forest Restoration Act, the Forest Service has declared the burn an emergency situation that puts logging on a fast track, even as it's being challenged in court. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Medford, Oregon.